Matthew, I'm an alcoholic.
You know, it was overwhelming. Like he said, you get this call from GSO, and like I said, a loving invitation. And I like him said, it would be more loving if it wasn't 9 a.m. But I'm just going to briefly tell you before I start about my connection with A and the internet. Where I was right before my connection with the internet. I had already just been thrown out of my my house with my wife and kids. I was 43 years old, living in my mother's house, and she was going on a camping trip for breast cancer survivors, and my dad was coming down to take care of me, and he's an alcoholic, and my mother didn't know he was drinking at the time, and when he left and she came back, my mother found a bottle in the garage, and instead of admitting it, I threw my dad under the bus. And said it was his. And it just started this really, really horrible spree at that point. And I was drinking 100-proof vodka 24 hours a day. And it was late at night. And for those who remember AOL dial-up. So I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And since there are only a few people I know, I told them I would tell this embarrassing part at the beginning of this. So I may or may have not been looking on AOL for some adult chat rooms. And there was one in particular that it was like Ask Woman Anything or something. And I kept hitting refresh because I couldn't get into the room. And I must have backed up. And I have to tell you, like I was so drunk at this point, I could barely stand. And so I could barely even read the screen. And I'm pressing back, and I'm pressing forward, and I'm pressing back, and I'm pressing forward. And I finally get into this room, and I ask some sort of really inappropriate question, like with giraffes or, you know, something really bizarre. And no one responds. So I beef it up a little bit about two giraffes or whatever. And a guy instant messages me. And he says, I don't know what shit you're trying to pull here, but we don't talk like that in this room. And I went, well, of course you do. That's why I'm here. And as it would happen to be, I happen to have just entered in, you know, ask questions or whatever. Anyway, I was in Ask a Northern California Alcoholic room. And I just had no idea. And so I started conversing with this guy who just had no idea who I was, and he was just asking these really pointed questions. And for one of these times, I was actually kind of honest. And he sort of was saying, you know, it'll be okay. And I wish I had listened to that man at that moment, but after that, I drank myself to the point where I tried to detox myself, and I ended up in a psychotic rage, in a coma, and flatlining after that. And I end up going into a rehab, and I'm sitting in that rehab, and I'm watching, and they bring in panels, and I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm trying to listen. And I'm listening to this one guy on this panel talking, and there's certain things he's saying that I'm like, this guy sounds familiar. And it was the guy from the internet chat room, and it was a Sonoma County AA chat room that I am going to. And it was great because he visited me for that first month in rehab, and it was simply wonderful. You know, I came out of that rehab and I was about 2 months sober, and there's I'm just trying to stall the 20 minutes. Anyway, there's a woman in this room, and I won't say Kathy's name, but she. It was a Sunday meeting, and she said to me, "Hey, you know, what are you doing today? There's an AA convention meeting and an H9 meeting this afternoon. I think you should be there." And to both of our surprise, I showed up. And I had no talents. I had no nothing. I was barely getting out of that room. And who would have known they needed a guy to make their website? It was the only talent I could offer them. And that was my first commitment to AA, was making that AA website for that convention. And I held that commitment for 2 years. And I sort of felt like I was making a contribution. I still thought I wanted to drink, and I still felt odd, but I knew that I was making some sort of an impact. And I remember I had my ex-wife then proofreading, she was my wife then, but I was living in a sober living, and I was having her proof the website for me. And this is probably like in 4 or 5 months, and this is how brilliant my mind was thinking. And guys who are married, you'll understand how well this went over. So she's proofing, and she says, "Hey, you know, you wrote Al-Anon 2 different ways, one with a dash and one without a dash. Which, how do you spell it?" And so me and my wisdom, I said, "Well, had you gone, you would have known." Hence my ex-wife. So that was really my early introductions with the internet, you know. And I'm going to jump fast forward because really I want to talk about the internet today. I have the great honor of being the central office manager for Ventura County, and in that position, I run our website. I also am the webmaster for the Area 93 website. And there have been so many times that our internet site has been used for some miraculous things and some great connections. I did get a call from a GSO at one time, and they was looking for a people that would Skype people that were deaf. And I was at the Southern California powwow, and they had a row of interpreters. And I was able to hook up these people in New York with these people in California to do these online meetings in sign language. And I was going back east, and I was able to meet one of the people that we had hooked up with this meeting, and they just thought it was, they were amazed that someone in California could hook them up and be connected to this program. You know, the internet is something we're not going to be able to avoid, obviously, as we move forward. All we can do is make advancements that keep our traditions safe. You know, the World Service does have MG18, which is the beginning of the guidelines for the internet. And it really is a way to have a start. It's going to be a slippery slope, you know. But like on our internet, one of the things I'm trying to do is for our volunteers, and one of them just walked in actually, is trying to increase the ability for tourists in our town to come and find meetings. There's some websites like in New Orleans that you can push a button and it'll take your GPS coordinates and plot out the things. Right now we're working on a system that you just type in your address and all the meetings around you can come up to it. And, you know, whatever we can do to make it as easy as possible for that alcoholic to find that meeting. I've looked at the statistics at Central Office over the last few years, and the amount of meeting calls has dropped dramatically. And that's because of the access to the internet. And so I think it's my job as a central office manager to make that as easy as possible for that alcoholic, for the newcomer. Because the newcomer who is just still drinking, it is so hard to pick up that phone. But to dial type a few keys and get to the right spot is really an incredible thing. We're looking at developing an app for people's phones, so they're able to just be wherever they are, and again, utilize the GPS in their system. And the greatest thing is we have the central office managers meeting once a year, and around the country, people are doing some amazing things on the internet, connecting alcoholics together. And this year in St. Louis, for the second time, we're going to have the AA technology conference, where people from around the country, it's going to be in St. Louis in the first week of October, where people from around the country can share the technologies that we're working on. Because we're all working on sort of the same sort of things, and we all want to help each other. So if you know anyone in your area that's doing your website, you're doing your internet stuff, you know, please, You know, they can either call me at central office in Ventura County, or they can get a hold of World Service and find out where it is. But the more people we have there that can share on this, the better. This is not talking about the guidelines or what we should or shouldn't do online. This is more on how we get the best ability to communicate with the alcoholic out there. You know, so I briefly want to touch on, since time is short, you know, there is the controversy on what we're putting online. There are Facebook pages. There's blogs. You know, we really, I think this is, you know, this is my opinion, but we're on a slippery slope with that. Once we start looking at, okay, I can break our anonymity just this much, and then someone can see that, and it's not necessarily just your Facebook page, but, you know, if you're friends with a friend, and they see it. I have seen way too many people get burned on jobs because they, you know, employers look at Facebook pages and they look at friends of friends and they do. When you say something innocent, even if it's something like, hey, celebrated such and so's third birthday, and then that employer, you know, dials up and looks at, third birthday? You're 57 years old. What third birthday are you talking about? You know, it just puts people in precarious situations. You know, I understand people like to show and share and all of that. That's great. But, you know, you're putting people's livelihoods at stake. It's not really worth that to show off yourself, you know, giving someone a cake or someone at a meeting. I think there's a ways to do it. They have private rooms. They have other things like that. I'm simply saying whatever you do, is that's right for you. But there are certain ways to do it right. And it seems like a fun idea when you're doing it, but I just ask everyone to please think about not yourself, but someone else in Alcoholics Anonymous, because you inadvertently could be breaking their anonymity, and what's okay for you might not be okay for anyone else. I think one of the most rewarding things I got to do with the internet was about 6 months ago. I got a call from a friend whose buddy was in the military. And there was a group of guys, and they were in some desert horrible place and fighting and shooting, and they were drinking too much. And no one in their battalion or group, or whatever you call them, knew anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, and they didn't know. They couldn't stop. But these four or five guys just really wanted to stop. And they got in contact with me. I was able to get in contact with someone who knew someone, and I was able to get some email correspondence going. And we set up a small meeting for these guys via Skype. And we had seven guys in Northern California, and they met with these guys two days a week. And they had about an hour to an hour and a half, depending. And one of the meetings was cut short because of gunfire and bombs and all of that, and they talked about it reconvening, and only two of them came back. And at that point, those two people that had survived were even more committed to stopping drinking. And they weren't sure if their friends were drunk when they went out. And they were scared. They were afraid that they were going to go out drunk one day and never come back. And these guys that are in Northern California who talk to these guys on a regular basis have the opportunity to work with them. And I think the last I heard, that group of two now is back up to about a group of 10. And that's just one of the ways that Alcoholics Anonymous and AA is you know, connecting with people around the country thanks to this internet. There's all the negative things we could look at about the internet right now. But any way we can connect is a step forward. Any way that we could reach out to a newcomer, someone who is in need, it's the greatest thing. And, you know, I'm also just taking on the commitment of the Area 93 webmaster. And there's just so many different ways that we can be of service to people, just to get them informed, or those people that, you know, different ways and accesses. And because, yeah, we know that the guidelines are there. We know that AA is all this great resource. But we get called all the time of people who have no idea how to get there. You know, on our local website and on our area website, we just want to make things very concise and easy for the people to use. You know, when you're struggling, you don't want to go through layers and layers and layers of things. You want answers and you want them quick. And again, any way that we can help at our central office or in our area to facilitate these people, is just a really amazing thing. And any part of that that I can do to assist, I just love. It's using the few talents that I have to actually make a difference. And, you know, I actually am surprised at how a little overwhelmed I am being here at the International. You know, after last night and seeing that room of people. And even something as basic of how many people here have the International app on their phone right now. You know, who would have thought, you know, as well as the fact, you know, with communications, it's part of the cyber world out there. But how many people here have been able to communicate with your friends or get to a meeting or find out where they are because you're texting them? You know, can you imagine how we had this whole convention where it's like you're posting your note on the thing? It's like, we're going to be at this place at this time. And it's like five levels deep of 50,000 text, you know, little messages up there. I saw this one blog of people just when I was looking at stuff before I left. It was a blog of people from North Carolina, actually. And it was just all people planning this meeting. And there was this little section on there that they were all raising funds to bring newcomers to the International Convention for the first time. And again, this was all a bunch of people that didn't know each other and that were connecting with each other via the internet so they could bring newcomers here and experience this incredible experience here at the International. You know, there's so many ways we can touch the lives of people, and there's so many ways that, unfortunately, we can ruin the lives of people. And I think, you know, we're really at the base right now of this, you know, next explosion where, you know, we really need to have our ducks in a row as we move forward because it's a slippery slope. It can be a great lifesaver, like I said, or it can be, you know, detrimental. So I just ask everyone to think about what they're doing online, reach out to your fellows online, and I really appreciate the opportunity of being here up tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Matthew C. Our next speaker is Pamela S. from Virginia.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pam, and I am an alcoholic. Thank you for the Roanoke, Virginia cheer. I appreciate it. I'm honored to be here. I'm going to tell you that what my sponsor told me to say. She said, that's kind of a fib. I'm honored to be here. She told me to get up and say, you tell them you're delighted to be here today. So I am. I'm humbled. I'm not quite sure how I got here. But since I've arrived at AA, I've learned that it's not always important to ask why. It's more important to me to ask how am I going to do this. So I'm a romper room girl. I don't know what you're laughing at, but... And what I mean by that is when I was a kid, you know, it was romper room and American Bandstand. Now I'm going to ask, you don't have to show your hands, you don't have to say anything, but there's probably another group of people here, and they're more about Sesame Street and American Idol. And I frame that, I start with that in terms of carrying the message on the internet is because it's not about how old we are. It's really about how we're going to talk to each other and what we bring to the table when we communicate with each other is our experience and how we grew up, what tools we used, how we communicated with our friends, how we went to school. And every time this topic of the internet comes up, I have this pit in my stomach that responds because there can be such controversy around it. And yet we just heard some stories from Matt that powerful, powerful tools and resources save people's lives. So there's no doubt in my mind and my experience that the internet is here to stay. In 1995, there were 35 million internet users. In 2014, at the end of last year, there were 2.8 billion internet users. So it would be in our best interest if we stopped fighting and started embracing how to make this tool save our lives and enhance our sobriety and carry the message beyond our own little community, whatever that looks like around the world. We saw that last night, 94 flags, and some of them weren't there, you know, 170 countries. I can't remember how many translations, so I don't want to be misquoted, but we are out there in print and online. My experience, my sobriety date, let me think about it, February 19th, 2006. I've not been here that long, but I've been here long enough to say life is good. Life is so much better. And I want it to stay. And I travel a lot in business. And after business meetings, I get back to my room. I didn't get to go to a meeting. I've got my book, but I forgot my book. But I can always go online. And if I'm not in a meeting, I can at least connect with the message somehow. When I first got to AA, I knew everything. I am not a webmaster. I don't think I even could pretend to be a webmaster. But I do know that for me, what has been true is that my sobriety is based on talking one alcoholic to another alcoholic. And that when I came into the rooms, it took a lot of you to get me to go into a room. I hid for a long time. It was very important to me that I have a personal connection with one of you. It was very important to me that I trusted you. So in the early days, I decided, well, what is this meetings online? Now, this is 9.5 years ago. And I wandered into a meeting. And I wasn't in a meeting. I was in a chat room. And I was young enough in sobriety to say, well, that's not for me. They're not talking about AA, with a real attitude adjustment required. But I've been here long enough to know that I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I had enough of you to say, well, you just need to keep coming back. So I want to frame a few things here. We have moved so fast in the last 15, 20 years. In 1989 is when the World Wide Web became, you know, a household name. When AA was founded, I don't know, we were founded in 39. In 1950, the television was introduced. In 1955, it was mainstream. And in 1960, Bill was writing about this wild adventure of being able to communicate to the masses. 5 years ago, I went to an assembly, an AA assembly. I've had the privilege to be a trusted servant. It saves my butt. It keeps me moving. I'm active in AA. And more than once, I've been humbled. And here's the occasion on which I was humbled. I walked into a growth committee meeting, and there was a lively discussion about whether or not our Virginia area newsletter should be online. And I am sitting there. Now, I've been here a little while, and I'm saying to myself, because in my professional life, I'm like, of course it should be online. It'll save money. It'll have a broader base communication. It'll do all this. I know how to do this, and I raised my hand. And I found myself on an ad hoc committee that was going to have this conversation about online or no online or in between the line, whatever it's going to be. And that changed my whole perspective on the power of the Internet for an alcoholic like me, because everything we talked about was in the framework of the traditions. And the number one thing that kept coming up was the protection of our anonymity. It was not a fear-based discussion around, at that time, me exposing my anonymity. It was an expression, a concern about making sure the spiritual principle of anonymity was conveyed in every way we could make it happen, so that AA was always a safe place in the service structure, outside of the service structure, for anyone. Because people were watching us. They're saying, how'd you get sober? How do you stay sober? So people are watching you. You're the best big book somebody's going to see. So it was important that we adhere to those traditions and we protect that principle of anonymity. But I was humbled because I knew all the project management techniques of how to map it out, how to plan it, who to call, how to get pricing. But I didn't know, I didn't have a clue about how these principles that are saving my life, your life, our lives, could be applied. So in the end, I walked away from that experience saying, because I came to the table, remember in the early days I went to an AA meeting online and it, in my opinion, it was nothing. But then again, my opinions were nothing then too. And here I was suddenly recognizing what this powerful communication tool could do. And so I looked around and I had to do that. We have an AA online intergroup. You know, go to the hospitality suite. Talk to them about what they, the magical mystery things that they are doing to carry that message. We heard some powerful stories about those in the military in harm's way. Not only in harm's way because people are shooting at them, but in harm's way because they could die drunk. They have no defense against that first drink. And then we have people who are not able to get out to get to a meeting. The elderly, those who are disabled, they have no one-on-one connection. So anything we can do to help them feel part of the we is crucial. So when I think about my experience in AA, there was a grapevine quote, I don't know, this last month. I'm not going to remember exactly how it goes, but it's, I didn't come to change AA. You know, AA is here to change me. And that's what continues to happen in my life. Now, I had a negative opinion of the internet, and I have been humbled. Think of it this way. In my small little North American world, Alaska has 1.2 people per square mile. Wow, that's a small we. That's a neighborhood of one, maybe two. In Alaska, people take planes to go teach a class, to go to a meeting. And when it gets cold, and the snow is too deep to navigate. I know in Roanoke we get an inch of snow and it's bedlam. So in Alaska, I'm just using Alaska as an example of a very rural, dense population. All over the world there are pockets like that. So I'm grateful that the internet is here to stay. I am so grateful for the principles we have. And I just want to say, if you haven't read the anonymity page that's on the app, I have figured out how to, because when we leave, that app is going to disappear. It's all about anonymity. We don't want to go back in there. It is, I don't know who wrote it, but it's such a nice, easy, comforting read. It just is. It just says, doesn't tell us what to do. It says you might consider that you have a chance of helping someone else feel safe to come in the rooms. And for those of us who have been here just a little while, we can break each other's anonymity because, after all, you know, we've gotten so used to each other, who cares? We have got to take care of each other and the newcomer. But that page, I have figured out how to cut and paste. I now have it as a Word document. I will print it out and give it to anybody who will take one. Because that's what's going to keep this internet safe. The slippery slope is really dangerous. Principles before personalities. My personality is really gets in the way. And after all, I didn't break anybody's anonymity. It is my Facebook page. So I am grateful to be here. I'm grateful for those who came before me. The principles are absolutely crucial. My job in AA is to be of service and to do whatever I can so that it's here for me as I age and for the newcomer. Last night I saw someone who I really thought was going to be dead. I hadn't seen her, I don't know, in 10 years. I was standing getting a bottle of water, and I heard my name. And I turned around, and there was this kid with light in her eyes, a wild and crazy, delightful kid. She's not a kid, but everybody's a kid to me these days. And she's well, and she's one of us. And that's what I want to see happen. I want to be there to see it. So I hope that we all can band together in our common problem with a common solution and make sure the internet is here to stay for us because we keep it safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam S. from Virginia. Our next speaker, last speaker, is John H. from South Dakota.
My name is John. I'm an alcoholic. It says John H. S.D. And you would think of South Dakota. It's just some destination because that's the way my life has been for the last 3 years. My wife and I are full-time RVers. So just to get it straight, South Dakota is the mailing address for when we registered for the International a number of months ago. But I am formerly from California. One of the things that I am so amazed of is the fact that there are people here from my old home group, there are people here from my new home group in Arizona, and there are people here from my online home group, Lamplighters. And I am truly blessed to be a part of this thing. I want to thank Eva for getting us going with the email and, you know, and inviting us to be here and sending us letters. And I think I had one live contact prior to getting here from someone who wanted. They were looking for somebody to speak at various meetings, and they asked me if I wanted to talk. And I said, "Sure, I'll talk on anything you want. Whatever, it doesn't really matter." And then I get the AA and the internet assignment. I go, "Oh, well, I don't know." But that was really the last live contact. Everything else has been internet. Everything else has been email. Everything else is, you know, maybe, and a little bit of snail mail thrown in there as well. So it's a real honor to be here, and I thank the Matt and Pam for you know, warming up the room, because I'm humbled by being in the presence of people that like us. Every time I hear someone's story about a particular topic, I just sit there in awe, and I know the reason why I do that is because there's a power. There is a power greater than any of us working, and it's more powerful than the internet. God is everything, or He is nothing, and I believe that we are going to be guided, even though it's a slippery slope. I believe that the group conscience of Alcoholics Anonymous and the collective consciousness of us and our higher power are going to take good, really good care of us through the coming years, because it's going to get crazy. It's already crazy. But it's going to get crazy, and I think we're going to be okay. I think if Bill W. was at this convention or even in this meeting, he would be embracing the method of carrying the message through the internet. I think he would just embrace it, because if you remember the quote, yeah, we can, when he's talking to Dr. Bob and he says, yeah, we can get another alcoholic, we can do that, and there'll be millions of us, and, you know, and now we, it's true. So he was a visionary, and, you know, and I think he would embrace the internet. But we do need to be careful. My sobriety date is November 11th, 1983. My former home group in California was Saturday Night Live in San Jose. My current home group in Arizona is the Monday Night Back to Basics group in Apache Junction. And my home group online is Lamplighters Online. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how I got to Lamplighters a little bit later. But what I want to do is let you know that, back in the, I think it was in the early 70s. Now, I told you I got sober in 1983. So in the early 70s, I was pretty much deep into my cups. And I remember talking to this guy who was a software engineer of some kind. And we're talking about the computers. And I told him at that time, in my arrogance, they're not going to last. I said, this is crazy. No, nothing can work this fast. You can't do this. And you know, damn, I'm wrong again. You know, and then I remember, you know, when the internet was introduced, I was in telecommunications at the time, so we were part of that explosion. And I can't work. I remember going to a digital theory class in the 1980s, and it was after I had gotten sober. I was starting to clean up and, you know, become a reasonably good employee, and so they were giving me some training, and I went to this digital theory class, and I was talking to a guy that was a co-inventor of the transistor, and he worked for Bell Labs, and we're talking about, you know, zeros and ones and bits and bytes and all this stuff, and I'm going, this is not going to work, and he goes, just trust that it does. I can't tell you exactly how, but it does. Isn't that true about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous? And it's true certainly about the internet. It's working. My experience was that when we had one of our home group back in San Jose was founded in 1981, and one of the founding members came back into the group after a long hiatus. And it was towards the end of his life. He had found out that he had cancer, and it was aggressive brain cancer, and he was gonna die in a short period of time. But he wanted to leave a legacy, and one of the legacies that he wanted to leave was he wanted to create a website for the home group. And so in San Jose, California, right in the middle of Silicon Valley, there wasn't any. There was no local home group that had a website. We had a central office website. And we decided, since we were a pretty large group, that we would put this website together. And we decided to, we started to design it. He had some experience in that. And guess where we went to get help? We went to the General Service Office in New York to get help. And as was mentioned earlier, if you go to the General Service Office in New York for any kind of help, you don't get told what to do. You get suggestions, and you get pamphlets, and you get guidelines. And so we incorporated those into the development of that website, and it became SaturdayNightLive.org, and you can look, it's N-I-T-E, live.org, and it is an active, vibrant website even today, and it carries the message by providing a calendar of meetings, by giving members of that particular group or anybody that wants to log in to see the group conscience document, to see the agendas, to look up what they need to look up. It's just as if you walked into the room and all that stuff was posted on the wall. It's just as if you did that. Now, there are certain things that require a password on that website, one of them being speakers. So you have to be in the room. You have to know the password in order to listen to speakers that have spoken at that particular group. But it carries a message, you know, and it was a great experience to be a part of the development of that website. And I am not a webmaster. I'm not technical in that area. But I can help. And we can all help to help those who have the technical capability to do that and help them understand the connection between what they're doing and what the guidelines are from Alcoholics Anonymous. And so that was my first experience with the internet as far as, you know, having a website and, you know, going to meetings. And then back in Silicon Valley, Facebook is one of those things that everybody uses. And I know it's big all over the world. It kind of grew out of Silicon Valley, and so there was some issues regarding social networking. And there were a number of people that got together, and I don't know if one of them's here, if the person is here today, but one of them got together and created a private page. And a private page is one that you have to be invited to, let in, and you can be removed. And so it's a private page, and there's a private website page or a Facebook page, if you will, out of San Jose, where it's a meeting on Facebook, And I've participated in that, and people can write in shares, and they can, the night before, and they can talk about it the day after, and so on. And that thing got rolling in Santa Clara County, and it's still being used today, you know. I don't know how many of us, been using, like, the app. I thought the app was outstanding. I mean, I created my own schedule and did all that stuff, and because I don't know about you, but I lost a whole lot of brain cells prior to getting sober in 1983, because whiskey and LSD were two of my favorite friends. And there are some of you in the room can relate to that. But it was, so this has helped. It's certainly been a great benefit. So here we go. We go on to 2012. And this is a personal story and a personal connection to the internet. In the beginning of 2012, my wife and I found it necessary to put our house up for sale in San Jose. And we were afraid, we were scared, we're both entrenched in the recovery community in the Bay Area, and we just were at a point where we needed to sell. There was some financial stuff going on, and we started to share about it and get some help and talk about it in meetings, and we decided to go ahead and sell the house. And one of the things that we decided to do was she wanted to travel, and I didn't really want to do that because I just I love change so much, you know. How many can relate, right? So, but she said, why don't we travel? Why don't we get an RV and we'll hit the road? And I said, oh, I really don't want to do that. And then she goes, well, how about if we go to baseball parks? Oh. I'm a baseball fan. I'm also a baseball umpire. I've done college baseball, and I still do youth baseball in the winter in Arizona. And so baseball is a passion of mine, sort of. It is. And so that kind of fit right there. And I said, well, we're going to be traveling a lot, but I'm going to miss my home group. I'm going to miss the people that we have connected with over the many years. And again, what happens with us, with those of us that are in recovery, we start sharing this stuff, and it gets out on a place that I call the spiritual tabletop. We put it out there, and it gets moved around. And we watch that higher power take that information and put it in somebody's ear or put it in front of their eyes, and then they come back to us with maybe a suggestion or a solution to what that issue might be. And I was doing that in May of 2012 before we sold the house. And a longtime member of my home group, Elizabeth S., we called her Betsy back for many, many years. Elizabeth S., unbeknownst to me, had no idea she was a member of the online group Lamplighters. And she knew that we were going to be traveling. She knew of the dilemma of wondering whether or not I was going to be able to connect with people on the road and go to meetings, and she said, you might want to try this group. And I know a guy out in Virginia, Mike J., who owns a campground, and you're going to Virginia in July, and I'm sure he'll put you up. And Mike J. is the secretary of the meeting, online at Lamplighters. And so I contacted him. I contacted Lamplighters. I became a member of Lamplighters. And Lamplighters is one of the longest-standing online groups. It was founded in 1991. And with just a few people, and I think the last count was over 700 participants. Not every day, not every meeting, not every second, but it is an email-based online group. So you post a share, you get a topic, you share on. How many people are members of Lamplighters that are in the room? At least one or two. How many people are members of online meetings? Quite a number of you. Okay. And how many people have done online AA at all for meetings? Yeah, there you go. So Lamplighters is one of those ones where somebody picks a topic, they share on that topic, and then you start posting shares. And it's also not only a meeting, but it's also like the meeting after the meeting or the meeting before the meeting, because there's a lot of conversation that goes on as well. Some of it just like the meeting after the meeting or before the meeting. But that's okay. That is okay, because that's just us being human. That's just us doing what we do. But when it's specific to the topic at hand, the way that it's managed is you post on the top, you say on topic. You put on topic. So if you're reading all of these emails, you're going to see the emails that are based upon, or the writing and the sharing based upon that topic that was developed for that particular day or that particular week. And it's a great way to stay connected. And I didn't know that when I was sitting back there in San Jose wondering if I was going to be able to get to AA and be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous while I'm living on the road full-time in an RV. But if you put, like I said, you put this stuff out there, it comes back to you because there's a power greater than us. That's what I believe. And that power showed up in the form of an online meeting. And I've been an active participating member of online Lamplighters since June of 2012. And I'm relatively new in the online world. I mean, I know at least one member here at least 6 years on Lamplighters. Like I said, Lamplighters has been around since 1991. There's a lot of online groups and a lot of longtime members of online groups. And I've had the opportunity to show up in a town while out on the road and find out that there's an online member in that town and gone to a face-to-face meeting with them. And that's just awesome. That is just incredible. And the message gets carried, and it gets carried quite well over the Internet. I'm going to read a couple of things about Lamplighters, and then I'll probably end up sitting down and shutting up. Even though I got a lot of time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Why did you give me so much time? Pamela, you should have taken more time. What is Lamplighters? Founded by six people in 1991, Lamplighters now numbers just under 700 members, logging on from more than 30 countries around the world. That's carrying a message. That's being interconnected. We share our experience, strength, and hope with each other over the Internet via email. Unlike live chat AA meetings, of which there are many, email meetings involve using a central list server to gather our posts and redistribute them to the group so that everyone can hear every speaker's share, just as in a traditional meeting place. It's one of the things that I love about this particular group, because I can sit there and read shares from a bunch of different people. It's not just one-on-one chatting. And I think I've done online AA chat meetings once or twice. But I like this format for me personally. It works because I can read those posts. And if I'm reading something and it just doesn't pertain, or, you know, I've just lost interest, it's like move on to the next one. Or click, you know, and close the meeting. And then pick it up later when I'm feeling better. And this is a really critical thing about carrying the message online, I believe. It says, our Lamplighter meetings are a substitute for face-to-face meetings. Most of us use online meetings to supplement our face-to-face meetings. And I do live full-time in the RV, and like I said, I have a home group in Arizona. And even while I was in Arizona going to that meeting, I would participate in Lamplighters online. So it supplemented those meetings. Out on the road, it becomes more important to me as my main meeting, because I can't always get to face-to-face meetings based on our schedule, because we travel quick and move, and we move every couple of days. But when I do get into a town and I have a little extra time, I still go to meetings, and I've been fortunate enough to go to meetings all over the United States. AA is alive and well. You know, we all come from different areas, but when you come from one area and go out to different areas, it's a little bit, you really get the flavor of the fact that Alcoholics Anonymous is alive and well around our country, around the world, although I've only been to one meeting outside two meetings outside the United States. So it supplements face-to-face meetings. There are a few homebound AA members who cannot attend regular meetings because they have limited mobility or are ill or live in a remote area or work at such odd hours that they cannot fit meetings into their schedules. And some deaf members find online meetings very attractive equalizers where the deafness makes no difference to their full participation. Online AA groups or snail mail AA are often the only available sources of participation for such alcoholics in recovery. That's critically important. Critically important. That we continue to find a way to carry the message to people who can't always get to face-to-face meetings. And then the last one, there's a whole bunch of things about Lamplighters, but the last one I wanted to tell you about is Lamplighters a specialized group? The closed meetings of Lamplighters group are open to anyone with internet access and a desire to stop drinking. Our members reside all over the world and enrich our sharing with their wide diversity of cultural, racial, gender, socioeconomic, and other types of background. And the only thing that I had to do when I joined Lamplighters was write a little note, tell a little bit about myself, and then and write that I don't know if it's the right word, believe in or follow or adhere to the third tradition. That's all I had to do. That I had an honest desire to stop drinking. I have a desire to stop drinking. And I became a member of Lamplighters. That, I guess you got to have a computer, but because it wouldn't work if you didn't. I'm really honored to be here. I can't, the way that this thing transpired for me over the last couple of years and the way that that Lamplighters has stepped up and become a part of my life and the internet has become a part of my recovery is a way that I would have never imagined. But I'm not in charge anymore. A power greater than myself is. Thanks for letting me share.